This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, we've been discussing special teams on today's program, specifically the best special teams player of all time. And today we have one of them with us. That's Hank Bauer, a terrific coverage player with the San Diego, not Los Angeles, San Diego Chargers. And he was so good, in fact, that he made Rick Goslin's all-time NFL coverage unit, largely for making what's believed to be a league record 52 special teams tackles in 1981, including 38 unassisted and 7 in one game. Hammer, always good to be recognized, right?
Always. Always good to not be forgotten. You know, back then, nobody really, it was kind of coach speak. Everybody says, hey, kicking games, a third of the game, offense, defense, special teams. They say it, but they don't really believe it until something bad happens. And oftentimes it does during the course of a season, as we all know. But I don't think anybody aspires coming out of college or growing up say, hey, you know what? I want to be one of the best special teams players of all time. You know, the thought never crossed my mind, guys. It was just all about trying to help us win.
Well, maybe it didn't cross your mind, Hank, but you were one of the best special teams players of all time. 52 tackles in one year? How do you do something like that? What was your secret?
Well, you know what? I think I've had a lot of time to look back because it happened a long time ago. And I think when, you know, there was this perfect storm of a cyclonic special teams player that was in the making that I had no clue of. I played nose tackle fullback in high school in Orange County. It was an all-CIF, all-Orange County full nose tackle. So I learned all the defensive moves, you know, how to get off blocks. I learned, the button jerk, the swim move, the rip and under. I learned all of those defensive moves when I was in high school. Then I went to college and became a running back. But I also played rugby. I guess it's okay to say it now. I even played rugby in the off season my first couple of years. Just love the sport. And if you know anything about rugby, there's 15 a side. It's a bigger field, one official. Mm-hmm. It's ball patterns, it's movements, but it's really open field tackling. And you can't take wasted steps in the open field or you're going to get beat in rugby. So, you know, I think you add all those things up. I had the components of a defensive player, maybe the mentality of that. I had the skills of a ball carrier all the other skills of pass protection that you have to use as a running back. You got to do that in pump protection. So had all the elements covered as I was in my formative years. And then, again, you know what? Look, my first year, that's what guys did to make it. My second year, I started, never came off the field. By the way, first year, I made 20,000 and was elated. Second year, started, never came off the field, played every special team, every player running back almost, scored 9 touchdowns, every special teams. And then the third year, I became a short yardage back in special teams. So to me, whatever role they wanted me to play, I was just happy to be a part of a great team and do it. And then at the end of my career, last bunch of years, I became the special teams captain and I took to it because, hey, Ron, you know, Clark, guys,
right.
I was smart enough to know I wasn't James Brooks or Chuck Muncy. So I wanted to help contribute to help us win.
Well, I know some of our listeners, most of our listeners, I think, will find this hard to believe, though not anyone who knows you, Hank. But I remember you telling me once how you broke your neck during a game and you continued to play on. True story?
Absolutely true. I had to retire because of it. If you know anything about human anatomy, the body of C5, which is the biggest part of your vertebrae, had fractured all the way through. Now, I wasn't stupid. I mean, that's arguable, depending on who you talk to, but I'd never been in any kind of pain like that. I continued. I played 7 games that year with that, medicated. They took an x-ray, but it didn't show the fracture. And I mean, I went from bench pressing 430 to I couldn't even do the bar. I couldn't lift a pan up off the stove with my left arm. And I knew something was seriously wrong. And my whole left side started to shrink. The pain was unbelievable. But again, we medicated back then. And when I finally saw a specialist and they did a spinal tap and a contrast scan, I had surgery immediately. So, I mean, I wouldn't have done it had I known, but played seven games with it and very thankful that I'm alive, I'm walking, I'm talking, and able to play golf and work out and not pain-free, mind you, but live a pretty good lifestyle here, guys.
So, Bobby, what is your best special teams anecdote?
Oh, God. Gosh, there are so many of them. You know, the game's changed so much and the rules have changed so much. You know, back then, you know, they would run 3- and 4-man attached wedges at you. And if you got by your first or second blocker, I mean, it's just you against these four behemoths running full speed at each other. And I used to love that because you know, I wanted to see if those guys would flinch because I know I wasn't going to flinch. You know, but then back then you could actually cut the wedge. You could, they could cut you, which means, you know, they block you low. That's what a cut block is. And then I even started going over the top, you know, jumping over the top when I got to them at times, do a little windmill. I'll never forget the first time I did that was against the Philadelphia Eagles. And there was a guy by the name of, Billy Campfield, I think was his name, yep, running it back. And I guarantee didn't see it coming, but I went right over the wedge. They caught my leg, and they just kind of flipped me sideways, and I leg whipped him right in the neck and just dropped him. So that was one of my favorite plays that I remember. But there were, you know, and I always wondered, when you hit somebody, are your eyes open or closed? Of all the guys you've had on, have you ever asked that question?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
My eyes are closed just thinking of it. Just the story. Yeah,
well,
yeah. Makes my eyes closed.
I can give you my answer. Okay. I went into a wedge against the Raiders in Oakland, and it's one of these things where you see three guys coming, four guys coming. They're shoulder pad to shoulder pad. And the runner and the returner is right behind him coming full speed. And I'm going to go in, and I just made up my mind. I'm going in, I'm going to blow him up, right? And I'm going to blow him up, and I'm going to see if they flinch or if I flinch. And when I got to the wedge, all I remember, I knew there was going to be, you know, copious contact. And there was. But when I got up, all I remember was the crowd going crazy, and I'm kind of foggy, but I look over and I somehow got through the wedge, and it was a, you know, full speed impact with the runner who was going full speed. Oof. And at that point I realized my eyes were probably closed most of the time I hit people, because I didn't know who I hit. I thought I hit a bunch of big guys, and it ended up being a return guy by accident.
Hank, you later coached special teams. So what was more difficult, playing special teams or coaching special teams?
Well, I got out of coaching. You know, it just wasn't as fulfilling when I would see guys come through that had 1,000 times more talent than I did. And no matter what I did, I couldn't reach them. I couldn't get them to maximize their potential. And that was really, really frustrating, especially when your job performance is being evaluated as such. Here are the guys. They're talented. What are you going to do as a coach to maximize their performance and their talent? And when you tell the front office, hey, by the way, Rick, Ron, hey, by the way, that kid can't play, you know. He looks like Tarzan, but he'll play like Jane. And they'll say, well, that's your job as a coach. And you tell him at this level, no, the kid's never going to be able to drop his you-know-whats. And when they don't, and then you're held accountable, that was really frustrating for me.
Well, to your point there, Hank, you know, I always tell friends of mine that didn't play, first thing you ever hear as a football player when you're whatever you are, 7 years old, is put a hat on a hat. And the last thing you hear the last day you leave is, why didn't you put a hat on a hat? You know, I mean,
that's right.
It's the game. You know, you may say it's not safe. Well, neither is being a fireman. You know, I mean, that's what it is.
And you know, the other thing is, we signed up for it, didn't we? No, yeah. Nobody's yeah, forcing us to play the game.
Right. That's right.
I mean, just make sure that the players are educated and trained, and I think they are, more so than they ever have been. But again, we choose to do that. I chose to run down on kickoff because I wanted to help my team win. And then I found out what a joy it was to knock the living crap out of somebody, to break a wedge, you know, to hit a guy so hard. I hit this guy in Kansas City so hard one time. I mean, it was two freight trains running 60 yards apart, 70 yards apart, didn't break stride. His name was Horace Belton. I think you could probably find it on video. And the last thing I remember was looking over after we had collided and both knocked each other back. I mean, think about that. 70 yards apart, full speed, and then coming to a dead stop, knocking each other back. And I looked over, and his eyes rolled back in his head, and blood was coming out of his mouth, and I think I broke his ribs and his jaw. And I was knocked woozy. You know, that's the last thing I remember. Those things were fun to me. You know, those are the most fun times I can remember. I wanted to test myself. I wanted to see how far I could take it before my body broke down. What was gonna break down first, my mind or my body? And my mind won out, obviously, because my mind made my body do things that human beings aren't supposed to do. AFC Championship game 1981, opening kickoff. Again, we're wearing yellow pants, just a jock strap, no shorts underneath back then. I had a very severe stomach flu. I would like to apologize publicly to all the Oakland Raiders that played that day. I went down, and I didn't want to get cramped, so I took copious amounts of fluids, took a couple bags of IV before I went out. In opening kickoff, I hit this guy so hard, it came out right out my back end. Think about this, biggest game of your life, and you know people are watching. I played the whole first half like that, and every time I walked by the Raider huddle, I just had to back up and say hello to the boys.
That was a game when they said, "Hey, Witzer, you played like crap."
You're exactly right, my friend.
Hank Bauer, always, always good to catch up with you. And remember this, RC, baby.
RC, remain constant no matter how bad it gets, no matter how good it gets. Just remain constant.
Thanks, Hank. Thanks. That was former Chargers special teams great Hank Bauer. Up next, it's the 2-Minute Drill. You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network.